Good afternoon, Professor Peter Lynham.
Good afternoon. How are you doing today on this hot day?
We're good. We're in an air-conned room, so we're living the high life. Really?
That's nice. Well, I've been in the 19th century, distracted entirely by researching the Salvation Army and the spiritualists in Palmerston North in the 1880s. I will not talk to you about that, which mightn't be very interesting.
Okay.
So instead I listened to a quite interesting BBC documentary on the Sikhs, and it made me realize just the ways in which the Sikh religion has been so connected with tensions in India. And though we've done some of this before, there's one little aspect that I find absolutely intriguing. What do you know about the Sikhs?
I know they carry a knife.
Yep, that is, of course, very interesting.
I know they've got, or at least now it's like a symbolic knife, maybe in the more of a ruler type thing.
In New Zealand, it's always been a matter of concern that they shouldn't carry a knife that's suitable for stabbing. Yeah.
Right. And also have really long hair.
Yes,
generally.
That's true. And generally covered by that very striking head covering.
Turban thing, yeah.
Which can be of a very wide variety of colours, incidentally.
It's
an interesting feature that wasn't originally common in New Zealand initially. Almost all Sikh head coverings were white, but not anymore.
Mm.
But the significant aspect that is intriguing to me, New Zealand has a lot of Sikhs. It's got 40,000 Sikhs, and they've come only over the last, really, 15 years. So it's been a very high proportion of Indian migrants in the last 15 years have been Sikhs rather than Hindus.
Mm.
And that's quite something. So it's made it New Zealand's fifth or sixth largest religion, just like that, and has, you know, rapidly outnumbered lots of Christian groups that are very well known, like the Salvation Army and the like, are now massively outnumbered by the number of Sikhs in New Zealand.
What has been the attraction of New Zealand as a destination for Sikhs?
Oh, I don't think New Zealand has any particular attraction to the Sikhs. In fact, it's Canada where Sikhs love to go.
Hmm.
In New Zealand, they're about just under 0.9% of the population. They're roughly double that proportion in Canada.
Hmm.
For a lot of people in many parts of Asia, Canada is the dream location.
Am I wrong in sort of saying, though, that Canadians and New Zealanders tend to hit it off quite well? We're sort of similar in vibe.
That's true.
Mm.
That is certainly true, because in both cases, proximate to a strong country with a high profile, and therefore New Zealand and Canada in both cases are seen as the kind of polar opposite in some ways of that country.
Are you talking about Canada, America, New Zealand, Australia?
That's right.
Right. Yeah. I feel that. Yeah.
Why Canada, Peter?
It's lovely, John. They've got big trees in that, and Canadians.
Well, you know, Canada has a much larger economy than New Zealand.
Mm.
It's strong and prosperous. But the other thing quite important for Canada is that the west coast of Vancouver and British Columbia are really very, very diverse populations. And Vancouver's a much, much larger city, of course, than Auckland.
Mm.
And so it's got prosperity and colour and diversity. I mean, some of the features that are also here in Auckland, people often compare Vancouver and Auckland.
Right.
But I think those factors are important for some Sikhs. The other aspect is a, you know, very fine educational system. So there's lots of factors going, I think.
There must be a kind of tipping point for places, though, where, you know, the community of the people that are moving there are kind of like, oh, look, you know, like, you know, half of our mates have moved here. And,
well, precisely.
You know, everyone's just like, there's like a tipping point, and then it's like, oh, fuck it, let's all just start moving there kind of thing. And then all of a sudden you get a little settlement going on, you know, and a whole...
Yes, well, this is what is called chain migration.
Okay.
And chain migration operated in New Zealand and in Australia last century, but we were always outnumbered except during the American Civil War by the attraction of the USA.
Mm.
Not last century, the century before last. I have to keep forgetting we're now in the 21st century.
Mm.
Remember, I've been sitting in the 19th century all afternoon. So For Sikhs, though, a significant factor was also a push factor of wanting to get out of India. So the extraordinary story of the Sikh controversy with Indira Gandhi is really, really important in the story. So in 1984, Indira Gandhi was very discontented with the Punjabi leadership, which was, you know, Punjabis are largely Sikh, and had governed that part of India. And so she issued threats that he had to be taken down from power. And in response, her Sikh bodyguards killed her. And then the response of that was a huge furore against Sikhs in India.
Did they did they kill her with the knife thing that they have on?
Yes, that's right.
Oh, holy crap! Okay.
Yes. So it was a beheading, an assassination.
Oh damn.
Well, actually, I'm not sure about the beheading aspect, but certainly with the knife.
Mm.
And so there was an extraordinary furore, as you can imagine, and it led to the a lot of Hindu politicians becoming furious against the Sikhs and inciting the violence that led to the destruction of the Golden Temple that was, you know, is the central point for Sikhism. And so at that point, many Sikhs began giving up on India. It wasn't all to be doom and gloom, because in 2004, in fact, a Sikh became Prime Minister of India. And there was a Sikh Prime Minister until 2014, when the present rather notorious Hindu who took over from that Sikh Prime Minister. But it's, you know, so there is a sense in which India and Sikhs have recovered with each other, although the current tendency in India is towards a pretty stroppy Hinduism.
Pretty stroppy, did you say?
Yes.
Okay.
Because the attitude of the Hindu ministry in Delhi tends to be that Hinduism is the true religion of India, and that therefore Muslims, Sikhs and Christians, the three large minorities, have got to be forced to the edge and their privileges reduced.
It's good to know everyone's got these religious issues going on in their countries. That's great.
They're okay?
Yep, no, it's good.
Okay, so for all those reasons, I guess the number of Sikhs living abroad has greatly increased in the last 25 years. And New Zealand has been one of the recipients of this group of Sikhs. And Sikhs, I mean, it's quite striking in the way in which they tend to be both very industrious, strongly supported by the community, in the way that the Hindu community is just too large to do that. Doesn't operate that way, really, in New Zealand.
Well, what sort of support are you witnessing, Peter?
Oh, well, I have often noticed when I hear of Sikhs that, in fact, there's the two large temples here in Manurewa, and those temples seem to provide quite a large degree of both social and community support for those, for young Sikhs in particular. So they support them, they encourage educational achievement, and you know, lots of ways this makes the Sikh community in New Zealand quite a significant group of people.
What do the women carry knives as well, or is it just the,
No, it's definitely only the men.
Just checking. Do they, and has you ever seen a Sikh in New Zealand kind of whip the knife out to just like open a letter or anything handy?
No, not at all. This has always been a matter of community concern that Sikhs will not end up above. Because, I mean, the matter that a lot of Sikhs in New Zealand are concerned about is that there won't be violence towards Hindus in New Zealand. And on the whole, the Indian community in New Zealand does not have the deep sectarian divisions that you find in India itself. Whether that could happen, I don't know. But I don't... Now, I suppose the Sikh community is large enough, but they're not competing with each other in that sense.
Mm.
No.
And one often sees, say around the universities, you see Indians both wearing the headscarf and those not.
Mm.
It doesn't necessarily mean that they're not all Sikhs, because not all Sikhs wear the head covering. But you know, mingling together and very, very fraternally linked.
I guess the beauty of coming to a country that isn't your own is if these, you know, they're both a minority at that point. You know, there's no...
Precisely. So. And in a sense, you can start again and you use whatever strategies that make a difference to you.
Mm.
And I think that's been the feature. And Sikhs, therefore, have gained... there's now the first Sikh member of parliament. And so that's always been regarded for each of the different religious and ethnic groups as a big moment.
Yeah.
Sikhs have been very active in Canadian politics, so this is the beginning of Sikh involvement in New Zealand.
Right on.
Excellent.
Thank you very much, Peter. We'll chat again next Monday.
Look to it. Okay, bye.
Kākite.